It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All kinds of treats still headed your way on the show here today. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can weigh in with the Wonder Twin on the fan text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. God bless me. The slice on Broadway is unbelievable today. The guy who brings it in, whose name I forget, said, try this. It's ricotta cheese, pepperoni, and sausage. It's absolutely incredible. I just tried it. What did you get today?
Joe, it's one of my favorite times of the week when Slice comes and brings the pizza, puts a smile on my face no matter what mood I might be in. I got two pieces of plain pizza today, and I got one of those nice little pepperoni roll type of things.
Yeah, those are.
I like to call them.
They're great.
They're not like an actual pepperoni roll, but they're basically like pepperoni an actual roll, so I guess it is a pepperoni roll.
Yeah, I was just
What's the
about,
best way to put it?
I was just about to say it's a roll with pepperoni in it. How is it not a pepperoni roll?
When I think of a pepperoni roll, I think of one of those like 6-inch pepperoni rolls that
like
you
a,
get and put
full
in the microwave.
Sandwich. Yeah, these are little treats. These are like garlic knots, which they have also, only they're pepperoni rolls. It's a slice of heaven is a slice on Broadway.
And it's very good.
Oh, man, is it good. All right, we're talking about the trade returns. We're talking about now around the league, the trade deadline, who helped themselves the most and who didn't, and all of that. But let's hit the lines first on my contention that I'm more concerned about the Steelers' defense over the de facto second half of the season than I am the offense. This looks like a real offense with a real quarterback. I'd forgotten what that actually felt like, looked like. Let's go to the lines.
Joe,
do we got?
Here's Seth in Long Island.
What's up, Seth?
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning, gents. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Joe, that we've got finally an offense that looks like it's going to do something. I mean, it's a small sample size with Russell Wilson. You're going to get into those shootouts in the next 9 games. And I also agree with you in terms of the defense, the fact that people have been running wild, actually, is very disconcerting. So I like the trade, by the way. I like the Mike Williams trade, although I would have liked D-Hop better for the same cost, right, the same fifth round. But according to what I've heard, there was no interest in the Steelers organization in getting D-Hop. That's kind of puzzling. And one other comment I had for you, gentlemen, is, Najee Harris. You were talking about it earlier in the week, Joe. I really hope that he re-signs with the Steelers. He's a solid citizen. I think he's a good player, and he's getting his chance to show what he's all about because there's not 9-10 guys in the box. So based on the fact that you're going over the top. So
yeah.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate the call.
It's amazing what having an actual, NFL scheme can do combined with what you just mentioned, the threat of going over the top. I mean, this has been a Steeler issue on offense since the final 2 years of Ben. I remember Ron and I would talk every day. In the second half of the year, they started 11-0, or the final parts of that season when they fell apart. Is it that Ben can't throw the deep ball anymore, or that they don't want to do it, or, what's the problem? Why can't they at least present the threat of going over the top? Because on a very elemental basis, you force a defense to deploy more resources to the back end when you're a threat to beat them over the top. And maybe that's part of the rationale, bringing in two similarly styled receivers here. Now you got a guy who can beat you over the top on both sides, and maybe even in the slot if you want to include Austin. You know, that's significant for a run game. Fewer resources in the box. Plus, you have an actual offensive scheme. That's helpful. And a better offensive line, certainly than Najee had his first couple years. It all adds up to just a guy who he looks like a different player. And I've been saying since the beginning of the year, it's not about motivation. He's as motivated as any guy I've ever seen on a football field. He's nuts on the field. It's about actually having some space in which to work, finally. All right, let's take a little trip around the league at trade deadline time, or any other headlines you have. Limits, let's take our little trip around the NFL. I like the music. No, I love the music. The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Well, Joe, the DeAndre Hopkins trade obviously made a lot of waves for the Kansas City Chiefs. He had 8 catches for 86 yards and 2 touchdowns on 9 targets in the game against the Bucs. Another game that Kansas City won in overtime. Could that acquisition, in your mind, push the Chiefs over the top again with Xavier Worthy really not having a sophisticated route tree yet and also injuries to other wide receivers?
Of course. Yes, it could. And Travis Kelce has returned to form. You know, the Chiefs are always the team to beat. What's working against them is the simple pursuit of 3 in a row. There have been a lot of great, great football teams, including the 70s Steelers, who couldn't do it. Are they good enough to be the first? I know I said after week one, the season's over, the Chiefs are going to win it again. I was very depressed at that point, Limits. And part of me still feels like that. Like, who's going to go in there and beat him? But as I watch them, like, everybody seems to have a chance. Doesn't it have to happen one time? Burrow did it a couple of years ago. Brady did it there. Just the game the other day. Who were they playing the other night? Why can't I think of
Tampa
the opponent?
Bay.
Tampa Bay. Had two balls. They should have intercepted him twice in the last, like, 40 seconds. And that game might be over. Tampa Bay just would have needed one play and a field goal to win. So I think that Kansas City can be beat. And you know what? The smart money is that they're not going to win the Super Bowl because nobody's ever done it 3 years in a row. They've played a ton of football. Attrition has to set in at some point, right? But then they go out and they get a guy like this. It's depressing in a way. I still think they're going to lose, though.
I do, too. I think it's just destined to happen that they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year.
And I also think
they walk.
I also think on an individual week-by-week basis, it would be idiotic to bet against Mahomes. I know that doesn't make any sense. I think they're going to lose. I just don't know which game I would pick it. And would I be surprised if they simply won 2 playoff games? See, here's the thing. If the Chiefs have like a 2 or 3 game lead in the AFC, if they're like, you know, 14-1, then they can do a little bit of load management. Maybe they can break new ground in load management in the NFL. We always see guys sit the last week or play sparingly. What if they did it the final 2 weeks? What if one of those days was Christmas Day against the Steelers? That's the scary part of them being 7-0 is how do they manage the fact that they've played all these extra games compared to everybody else the past couple years, really the past 5, 6? That's the scary part. Next.
Let's go through some trades that went down, some minor ones. Cam Robinson, a tackle, being traded to the Vikings from Jacksonville. Baron Browning, linebacker for the Broncos, being traded to the Cardinals.
Nobody cares about those trades.
And that's why we had to just get past them to get to this one. The Lions have acquired Za'Darius Smith from the Cleveland Browns for a 5th-round pick and a 6th-round pick. So a really good pass rusher who goes to Detroit. And again, it seems like Cleveland just selling off pieces. Amari Cooper, Za'Darius Smith, are they going full-on rebuild?
They should be. If they're not, And you can thank Jimmy and Dee Haslam for the destruction of the Cleveland Browns. Send them your thank you notes.
They'll get my Christmas card this year.
They stink. We saw Jameis Winston, who I actually, you know, like as a backup, but he's just as liable to win a game for the other team as he is for yours. That happened in the span of two throws a couple weeks ago when he threw one right in Kyle Hamilton's hands. That should have ended the game. He even threw it with a little touch, you know, which was nice of him. Perfect throw. Nice and light. And the guy dropped it. Next throw's great. And Cleveland wins the game. And then this past game, he was the worst quarterback in the league this week. He was just god-awful. So you never know quite what you're going to get. But what you're probably going to get the rest of the year is a ton of losses. And you know what? If I'm a Browns fan, that's what I want. Sink to the bottom of the league, start getting some of these draft picks back, and you got to get a quarterback. You got to get a quarterback if you're the Cleveland Browns. That might be the most common phrase used in the last 25 years in the NFL. Man, if you're the Browns, you got to get a quarterback. And it's true again. Next.
And Za'Darius Smith filling in for Aiden Hutchinson at that outside pass rusher spot.
Big.
Detroit's huge to be able to make that addition.
Are they talking about Hutchinson being back for the playoffs?
I think maybe I saw it was the Super Bowl,
like a Rod Woodson scenario.
Yeah, I don't think anything before that, though. I can look into that more, though. Khalil Herbert, running back for the Bears, is acquired by Cincinnati for a seventh-round draft pick. He used to be really good on special teams, but more especially, he's a quick runner. In the passing game, they'd utilize him. Zach Moss is out indefinitely for Cincinnati with a neck injury. Bengals, they buy at the deadline. Do you think that they have it in them? I mean, we did it with our predictions a couple days ago. We had Cincinnati, both you and I, going 9-8, where obviously a Khalil Herbert isn't going to put him over the edge. But do we still believe in the Bengals?
Mildly. I believe in any given week, they can beat you. That's for sure. When you have Joe Burrow at the very top of his game with 20 touchdowns and four picks thrown to the guys he's throwing to, they could beat anybody in the league, but they've put themselves in a horrible position, mostly by losing to the Patriots at home. I can forgive losing in Kansas City. Of course I can. Washington, I can forgive losing to Baltimore in overtime. I can forgive losing to the Eagles, one of the most talented rosters in the league. What I cannot forgive is losing your home opener to the blanking Patriots. Are you kidding me? And now they've put themselves in a situation where there's almost no margin for error. So if you're asking me, do I believe in the Bengals that they're going to make the playoffs? They may sneak in. I mean, the answer is probably a very, very unconfident yes at this point. Look at their schedule limits. The thing they have going for them is that the bottom, the very bottom of the AFC playoff field isn't very good. And they have a big game against the Chargers. Ask me again after that game. They've got at Baltimore tomorrow, at the Chargers, Steelers at Dallas. You know, okay, so you split, which would be great, I would think. Then you're 6-7. Then you're in Tennessee. Nothing's easy in the NFL, but I'll give them that one. 7-7, Cleveland 8-7, Denver 9-7, and then they come here. That's an optimistic read on the Bengals. I don't even know if I answered your question. I don't really believe in them, no, but I do believe that if the playoffs started tomorrow, they'd be really dangerous.
Yeah, I still think they have a realistic possibility to make the playoffs as a wild card, and you get Joe Burrow into the playoffs, anything can happen.
One more.
How about Marshawn Lattimore going to Washington?
Yeah.
Steelers will play him this week, being traded over from New Orleans. It was the biggest trade of trade deadline day for a third-round pick in 25, as well as a fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick. Jets, or I don't know why CBS Sports says it's the Jets, but the Saints are able to get three picks back for Lattimore. They also gave up a fifth. I think Washington just continues to add on here in terms of players. We saw that report that players want to go to Washington now because of Jaden Daniels. Ownership is different. It seems like there's a completely new vibe around Washington. I'm a little bit fearful that the Steelers are going to lose this game, and I think I'm going to predict them to.
Man, I think Washington is a great story this year. That kid is absolutely electric. And they're sitting here at 7-2. They've got games twice. They play Dallas, Tennessee at home, New Orleans at home, Atlanta at home, Pittsburgh at home. they almost can't help but win 11, right? They're going to wind up with 11 wins. And then what I love is the fact that they're not waiting. I hate when teams wait. You know, like they pretend they're in some sort of building phase. Oh, we're not ready to do that yet. It's the Pirates. We couldn't possibly do that yet. Trade prospects? You're in a year where you're in it. Go do something. They did. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow, next year. Jaden Daniels could be hurt by next. They have a chance now. He's Paul Skeens. They have a chance to win now. Go capitalize on it. Live for the moment. Live for the present. Go out and get Marshawn Lattimore, for God's sakes. I love that they did that. I love that mentality. It's the NFL. Of course, they could win the Super Bowl this season. They just helped their cause. They have a star quarterback. Go do it. Now, I hope the Steelers do well against them this week. But big picture, Commanders, I absolutely love what they're doing. And long term, I think I'm going to pick them as my team in the NFC playoffs.
Win the NFC?
No, the team I'm rooting for. I love their mentality that they did this. I can't tell you how much I love it.
I'll give you two more quick ones.
Beanie
Bishop, the two interception balls that he got intercepted on Aaron Rodgers,
yeah,
have been signed. The footballs were returned today. There's a picture of Beanie Bishop going around on social media holding both signed balls.
Did it say, congratulations, Beanie, and then in parentheses, Mike Williams ran the wrong route? Love,
no.
Aaron?
No, all it says is Aaron Rodgers' signature with an 8 on it. And
nice.
Fox's PR team has come out and said that the Ohio State-Penn State game got 9.94 million viewers. It is the most watched college football game this season on Fox.
If only they had a chance to watch Ty Warren at the goal line.
Only if.
Thank you, Limits.
You're quite welcome.
Coming up, Jerry Dulac has a very, very interesting.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. Do we have a spicy Jerry Dulac chat at postgazette.com today, Limits? Top of the hour of Rich Cimini. He's ESPN, correct?
Correct.
Covers the Jets?
Yes.
It's going to say which outlet. We just had him on 2 weeks ago. I want to hear about Mike Williams. I want the Mike Williams story from what went on in New York. What's true, what's not. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The Injury Report, brought to you by Shendrovich, Shendrovich & Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet, at least according to Dulac. Zach Fraser should be ready to go. You might have to wait on Herbig, though. Might have to wait till the Ravens game. That's the latest I've got for you there. But let's take a deep dive into this thing. You have your snorkeling outfit on?
I'm ready.
Limits? While you eat your pizza? What kind are you eating now? Plain?
That's correct.
Slice on Broadway, really good. Ron used to just blatantly eat meals on the air, especially when we were on location. Did you ever hear that? Were you ever listening when he was eating?
Yeah, and I remember him doing that in the studio when I would work shows with you guys.
There seemed to be a disconnect between the idea that he was live on the air with a microphone. The irony is when he was supposed to talk at other times, his microphone was off. When he was supposed to have it off so he could eat, it was on. Does that make any sense?
It makes complete sense. But yes, it happened all the time occasionally.
Those are two different things, all the time and occasionally.
I know.
Did you mean to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Here's Jerry Dulac on Troy Fatanu. Says Sal, happy Wednesday, Jerry. Is there a real possibility Fatano returns this season? I see you're intrigued, Limits. You just perked up there. Jerry says not for the regular season, but they have their fingers crossed he could possibly return for the postseason. I don't know if that's realistic. I'll take that for now. Fingers crossed for the postseason.
I wonder if they would put him in for Broderick Jones in the playoffs.
Man, it's a good question.
That's what they did, I mean, early on in the season.
I don't know. No, he'd have to play in the regular season. You can't just throw him into a game. I don't think.
You would think not as a rookie.
Huh?
You would think not as a rookie.
Well,
but,
not as a rookie coming off a six-month injury.
But they clearly believe in him.
Oh, yeah.
Significantly more than they do in Broderick Jones, I think.
There's no doubt. And in a related question, it's George in Washington. He got hit with a George in Washington here. Jerry, if Broderick Jones stinks at right tackle, who's to say that moving him to left tackle next year makes him better? Jerry says because he's more comfortable on the left side? Double question mark? And that leads to a third little treat from Tom M. I know it wasn't the plan, but should the Steelers plan to re-sign Dan Moore? At this point, says Tom, Jones may only be suited as the backup swing tackle next year. Conversely, should Jones be handed the starting left tackle position based on his draft position? Jerry, I believe referring to the idea of signing Moore, said it's not a far-fetched thought. What do you make of the idea, Wonder Twin, of bringing back Fatanu, moving him into James Daniels' position at guard, keeping Jones at right tackle, and signing Dan Moore? Has that become more viable? It has in Jerry's mind, I think.
Not in my mind. I would much rather have Broderick Jones be the left tackle, Fatanu be the right tackle, basically like nothing happened, McCormick at right guard.
Why?
Frazier at center.
Why?
Well, one, I don't want to pay Dan Moore what he's going to be commanding. I just don't. I mean, the body of work, I mean, I know it's better this
Doesn't
year.
Doesn't Broderick Jones scare you at left tackle?
He scares me at right tackle, but he's
scares
still playing
me at
out
any
of position.
Tackle.
I think he will be better at left. A more natural position than he knows.
Maybe. You might be right about
and,
that.
And, I mean, Dan Moore, we know he can't play right, so he's strictly just a left tackle, and I don't think the Steelers want to pony up that money for him. I mean, they're not commanding a lot of money on offense to anybody. They're going to have to pay a quarterback. Probably should pay a wide receiver in the offseason. But no, I would still not give Dan Moore significant money.
You make sense there, I think. The one thing that doesn't make sense to me is when people recoil at the idea of Fatanu at guard. You didn't draft him to be a guard. Well, who cares? You drafted Alan Faneca to be a guard. You drafted David DeCastro to be a guard. If he's a really good guard, that's important too. You know?
Yeah, but
I wouldn't have any problem with that.
I think he could be a really good tackle, though. So I would not want to move him to guard. More tackles are more important.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Against Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, and the likes of those guys compared to the interior guys?
They seem to be overcoming below the line play to put up 400 yards every week with Broderick Jones at right tackle. So it's not like having a subpar tackle is going to kill you.
But you think guard is more important than tackle?
I think it can be just as important. There's a lot of interior pass rushers, too. Look at Dexter Lawrence from last weekend.
Yeah, but not as many as there are outside pass rushers.
You're probably right. Yeah, it's probably a more valuable position. That's why they make more money. But if the idea is to put your best line on the field, I don't think it's a failure of a draft pick if you move Fatanu to guard. Let me put it that way.
Not a failure, no. Especially if he can be productive there. But, I mean, you think of just names off the top of your head, like Parsons, Bosa, both Bosas, Khalil Mack. I mean, it's a lot harder to think of interior guys other than Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, Aaron Donald before he retired, Cam Hayward. The list is a lot shorter than the outside.
Right.
I mean, that's why quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher is considered like the three biggest wants and needs for a team.
And you want to put Broderick Jones at left tackle.
Because I think he'll be better there than at right. I mean, he can't be much worse at right.
All right, Limits. I think it's a good option myself. Dr. Kornfetter weighs in.
Oh, how about
how
that?
How about this? Spelled corn and then F-E-D-D-E-R, Dr. Kornfetter. Hello, Mr. Dulac. Proposed Najee extension. Listen to this. 3 years, $24 million. Who says no? Najee or the Steelers? How do you think Dulac answered that?
The Steelers.
He does say that.
$8 million a year for a running back. Wasn't that the 5th-year option? $8 million.
Yeah, but look what's happened since.
Well, I know, and I was somebody who would have given Najee Harris the 5th-year option.
Well, why
I was
why in the minority. Would you give him $8 million now? Well, or would you?
No, I would, but I don't think the Steelers would. I would try to get that number down closer to 7. I feel a lot more comfortable with $7 million for a running back than 8. But, I mean, 8 is right around the DeAndre Swift territory, Ramondre Stevenson. I think Najee's as good, if not better, than those guys.
I think 3 years, $24 million is an absolute bargain. I would do that in a second, and I would sign Warren. They'd be making less than Larry Ogunjobi to underachieve on the defensive line.
How about that?
Here's the thing, though. Dr. Kornfeder says 3 years, $24 million extension for Najee. Who says no? Jerry says the Steelers. But then Uncle T weighs in and says, can you rank the trades at the deadline? And what do you think the odds of signing Najee are after the season? Jerry says he likes the deals for depth. And I have always believed they will sign Najee after the season so long as he wants to stay here. Well, not at $8 million.
He's always thought that they'd bring him back despite declining the option.
So have I. I've told you that.
I've been a lot more hesitant on that. I think he'd rather test the market and go somewhere else. I think he is just
Where do you get big money as a running back, and where are you going to be valued more than you are here?
Well, I mean, he got his option declined. How valued is he here?
They wanted to wait to see how he fit in Arthur Smith's offense. He seems to fit pretty well.
Clearly, they didn't believe enough in him to have that belief, and why they wanted to wait for him to succeed in this offense.
Yes, that's clear.
I mean, I could see an organization like Jacksonville or like Denver giving him a bunch of money.
What's a bunch of money?
Probably nine.
3 years, 24. Hold on a second here. Give me a call at 412-928-9370. 928-9370. If I told you right now the Steelers could have Najee on a 3-year deal for $24 million, what would you say? Call City Limits and we'll talk in a minute here. You say no to that. You wouldn't do that.
No, I said I would do that. I said I don't think the Steelers would do that.
Oh. I thought you said you'd try to get it closer to 7.
Well, I would.
Well,
but
so would I. But
ultimately, I think I would take that deal.
So would I. He looks like a different player. Completely different player. Now that he's in a somewhat sophisticated offense, where defenses have to respect the fact that they can go down the field on you.
Now, the thing about Najee Harris compared to previous seasons is, you know, I think Russell Wilson definitely has helped over the last couple of weeks. Same thing with Justin Fields. I mean, Fields has helped in the running game to be able to make it a little bit more than just a one-dimensional offense. Comparing that to, I mean, he's not Barkley. He's not McCaffrey. Nobody's saying that he is. He's not a top five, top six, seven, eight running back. He's more in the 9, 10, 11 category. Is that somebody that you'd pay $8 million to?
Yes.
I think it's a realistic question. I would, but...
I mean, who's the best running back in the league? Derrick Henry right now?
Yeah.
Barkley?
He got, $8 million a year?
He was older. Getting up there, and he was coming off, you know, sort of a limited action situation, and they gave him $8 million. The highest paid guy is McCaffrey at $19 million a year. Then Jonathan Taylor at $14 million, Saquon at $12.5 million. God bless me. The other two $12 million running backs are Kamara and Jacobs. And I think those two teams probably feel like they made mistakes at $12 million. A lot of people feel like they make mistakes with running backs because they're running backs. But at $8 million, you know, it's not exactly going to bankrupt the franchise or ruin your salary cap, even if Najee weren't to turn out, like if he got hurt. Yeah, you're right. That's DeAndre Swift money. 3 years, $24 million, $15 million guaranteed. To me, it's so reasonable. And I'm like, I bet all of you out there, unless you're lying, that you've been up and down with Najee in his career, including this season. Do you remember all of us after the Indy game where he was averaging 3.3 yards a carry up to that point in the season? That wasn't that long ago, which is what Trent Richardson averaged his last year in the league. Cordarrelle Patterson, looked like Jim Brown in the same game compared to Najee at Indy. And then all of a sudden, Najee's taken off. All of a sudden, he's ripping off the kinds of runs he's never done in his career here. Limits, 3 years, $24 million. That's DeAndre Swift money. It's Tony. It's barely above Tony Pollard money and Aaron Jones money. James Conner was 3 years for $21 million, by the way. Listen, if Najee thinks he can go out on the open market and get Kamara or Barkley money, God bless him. And if he can, you say goodbye. I'd say to him, we really want you. Here's our offer. But if you want to go out on the market, can you give us a chance to match it? And like I said yesterday, when Najee did his first media gathering, you know, several weeks after they didn't come forth with the 50-year option, he didn't have to say, I really like it here. I like Mike. I like Art. I like Omar. I want to stay. I have never known in his public appearances Najee to not say what's on his mind. And I'm not saying he would have come out and shredded those guys, but he certainly didn't come out and say, I still want to be here. And Jerry Dulac has thought all along that he will be here. I'm on Team Dulac here. I am. And if I could have Najee for 3-24, I would sign that in blood today, right now. Does anybody disagree with that? Jerry says the Steelers wouldn't. Let's go to the lines, Limits. Who do we got?
Let's go to Steve in Pittsburgh.
Steve, what's up?
Honestly, I think they wanted to see what he'd get. You got to understand the play calling we had. We had a horrible play calling the last couple years, and he still put up 1,000 every year.
Would you do it? 3 years, 24?
In a heartbeat.
Me too. In a heartbeat.
He's definitely worth it. He gave you 1,000 his first three. But with a new system, you got to see.
My God, are you on a racetrack?
Yeah, that was unnecessary. Somebody blew past me in a Dodger.
Well, you don't respond to that. Don't chase them. I'd be tempted to go chase them now. That's a bad move.
Nah, I really think it's worth it. But you got to remember, even though they fired Matt Canada last year, they were still calling from his playbook.
Right. I mean, this is a whole different Najee.
Exactly. And listen, even with horrible play calling, he still put up 1,000.
I know, but he was never overly impressive to me, but I'm starting to think that a lot of that was the scheme and the quarterback.
Right, yeah, I've caught what it is. He's a bruiser. You got to keep feeding for him to get started.
Exactly. Next.
Let's go over to Jake in the South Hills.
Limits, did you hear that guy speeding behind our friend there?
I think it's hard to miss.
Yeah, that was frightening. Who's on the line?
This is Jake in the South Hills.
Hello, Jake.
Hey, guys. I don't think the money scares me as much as the Najee's makeup is one where, like, all of a sudden he falls off a cliff and he can't even make it to the line of scrimmage. I'd go, I think, 2 years at 9 each year with a third-year option, mm-hmm. so that if that production just falls to the craters, okay. And I got to say too.
Yeah,
Jaylen Warren is a tremendous back. The guy from the Giants gashed us. He's a fifth-round converted wide receiver. I mean, yeah,
I know
at the right price, sure, but there are other guys out there. I'm not anti-Najee.
No, there's no doubt.
I don't think it'd be the worst thing if he didn't sign. But I'd go. I'd be more worried about the length of the contract than the number.
I hear you.
Given his running style.
And, you know, we've talked about it on this show and everybody does around the league that running backs really are in abundance out there. We appreciate it. One more, Limits, and then we'll get to Rich Cimini.
All right, let's go to Joe in Brookline.
Hi, Joe in Brookline.
Hey, Joe. How are you, my friend?
Good. What's up?
None. Everybody tends to forget about Joe Mixon when he left Cincinnati, but that was a bad giveaway, man. They gave him away to the Texans, and they shouldn't have. And he reminds me, Najee kind of reminds me of the way he is now. Like, he got in a better system, and he can run better, and it's proven. I know Joe Burrow is a good quarterback, but the system that he's in, they're doing much better things with Mixon. Now, you can see with the quarterback, Najee can run the ball, and then it can make,
He's breaking up limits for some reason. But I got the point there. Mixon signed for, what, 9.8 per season. That's a pretty hefty contract, but it was only, I think it was a two-year deal at 9.8 per season. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.